2 years ago in the 13th Congressional District, Betsy Dirksen-Londrigan came about 2,000 votes shy of unseating Republican Rodney Davis. This year, the margin was a lot worse, about 15,000 votes, even though she raised more and spent more than Davis. Why the bigger margin for Davis, do you think?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think the biggest single reason, again, has to do with the fact that in that off-year election of 2018, it turns out that Democrats were disproportionately mobilized, and that's one of the reasons the Democrats took over the House of Representatives that year. This cycle, again, I think you're seeing, while there were certainly were high levels of Democratic mobilization, there were also high levels of Republican mobilization, and thus the kind of underlying patterns of the district, which have tended to run Republican for most of the modern era, contemporary era, reflected in the fact that, if you will, a lot of Republicans who had not been expected to participate did.
Here's a couple of facts that may inflect the margins in that race. Turnout at the 7 precinct closest to ISU's campus was down from 2016. It went from 77% to 74% in those 7 precincts. And Londrigan saw her margin shrink in McLean and Champaign counties. Those are places where she needed to run up the score if she had a chance to beat Davis. What could have been happening with those college voters?
Well, the easiest and most likely explanation with the college votes is that there's lots of people who aren't here, right? As a practical matter, I'm teaching asynchronously, and I have no idea where my students are. Some number of them are surely in and around campus, but I know absolutely that some of them stayed at home. And so in those cases, they probably remained registered at home and would have voted in their home districts rather than voted in the local ISU race. So I think that may be an error. This was the one issue I had nationwide, that typically communities that have universities in them tend to be bluer than the societies around them. And I don't think that was quite as true this cycle. And I think that's across the United States. And I think that's because we had many fewer college students at college this year.
Is a 77% dropping to 74% in college-related precincts at ISU really enough to account for that entire 15,000 vote margin, though?
No, I wouldn't think so. I mean, as a practical matter, again, I just think that inherently that because of the high levels of mobilization across the board, that people who might not have participated in 2018, in particular Republicans who might not have participated in 2018, chose to participate this cycle. And therefore, the kind of inherent, this district is so big, and it crosses so much of the state, and it goes through so many areas, which in fact are historically fairly Republican. I just think we saw a lot more of those kinds of people show up this cycle.
What does a Democrat have to do in a future cycle?
You know, the short answer is, I don't know. I think this district is, in fact, inherently Republican, and thus, as a consequence, it is one of the mistakes we make in our society is to assume that we have a two-party system. Most of the United States has effectively a one-party political system, and every so often the other party breaks through. So in any kind of ordinary cycle, the district reflects the political consensus, if there is one, within that community, and either it gets redistricted into a more competitive situation, or in fact there's some particular idiosyncratic reason why a candidate loses in a particular race. But across most of the United States, most districts aren't that competitive because, in fact, they're drawn in ways that reflect certain kinds of social, political, and ideological patterns.